So we're continuing the introduction to the second part of Tanya concerning education. The Alter Rebbe had asked a question: why is it that when it says in the book of Proverbs, the book of Mishle, that we should educate a child according to his way, so that when the child grows older, the child will not leave off that method of education? And the Alter Rebbe had asked the question: why is it that we say that this is a the goal, that the child should retain the same methodologies, the same attitudes that you gave him or her when the child was small? Obviously, this is not the goal. The goal is that you should become an adult. You should think differently. You should have not childish way of looking at the world, or alternate thing you're talking about or you're doing. Then you go to the goal. You get down to brass tacks right away. But if not, then you have to have some kind of a distraction, warm-up, present, gift, something things. So now what this means, of course, is that rather than focusing always on the purpose, a child is focused on the gratification that comes to themselves. This is not a good thing. So when we think about the purpose, if you want to educate a person, what you really want from a person is that they should be selfless. You really want that your children should be concerned about the other person, about their family, about their community, not wrapped up in themselves. That's a child. The difference between an adult and a child is a child thinks about themselves. Child puts their needs first. An adult is able to have self-sacrifice. That's the difference. So when we say educate a child according to their way, what it means is, according to this, give something to the kid, to the individual, who may be even an adult in years, that is somehow self-serving, so that when they become older, they will be able to have the teaching, the education that you're giving them. Now, this course doesn't make any sense, because if the goal of being an adult is to be selfless, to be dedicated to something greater than yourself, then why would you want that at the back of the person's mind should always be this idea that somehow I have to like it, I have to gain from it, it has to make me happy? That's not what the goal of an adult is. So the Alter Rebbe asked this question. The Alter Rebbe says, no matter what you call the way of the child, whether it's a piece of candy or it's a gift or it's a toy or it's a word of, maybe it's a compliment, you know. But if that's your motivation, the reason you're doing something is because of something that you're getting on the side that is self-serving, then you're not a tzaddik, plain and simple. The tzaddik doesn't, as we explained in the first part of Tanya, the tzaddik doesn't do things for themselves. The tzaddik does for Hashem. The Alter Rebbe explained to us, therefore, that there are two levels of love for Hashem. And the highest level of love for Hashem, in fact, is the love that a tzaddik has. And this is what we have now on the screen. The highest level is this level, which is called Ava Rabba, the great love for Hashem. Not everyone, however, the Alter Rebbe says, is privileged to attain this state of love, which characterizes tzaddikim. This is an individual who has no desires of their own, no needs of their own, no, they're not looking to make themselves even feel holy and spiritual, let alone do something which is a sin. But they're not looking for themselves. They're only existing for Hashem. That is Ava Rabba. Then the Alter Rebbe says that there's a second level which every person can attain. If you meditate earnestly, this comes from what's called in Hebrew, hitboninut, hisboninus, meditation. If you meditate, if you think about the attitudes, the gift that Hashem gives us, which is our life, and the way that Hashem gives us our neshama, and the Torah, and the mitzvahs, if you think about all of these things, So the Alter Rebbe again explained the first part of Tanya, that there is, it's impossible that unless a person is corrupted by lots and lots of sins, or even small sins that you do again and again and again, unless a person is corrupted, if you think about the greatness of Hashem, you are absolutely going to come to the realization that Hashem is the most amazing, amazing creator and gives us amazing stuff. You'll come to Avas Hashem, to love Hashem. And this is the second level of love. And the Alter Rebbe quotes that there is this, we went through this, if you recall, the first part of Tanya at length. The Alter Rebbe called the love of Nafshi Ivi Sicha, we spoke about, where a person might love Hashem simply because Hashem gives us our life and takes us off of the garbage heap and lifts us up, which is another level of love, that Hashem, who's so great, takes his time, effort, energy, and lifts us up. So whether you meditate on the greatness of your neshama and on the life that Hashem gives you, which, as we said in the first part of Tanya, is called the love of Nafshi Ibisikha. I love my soul. I desire you. Because Hashem is our soul. Hashem is our life. And just like a person desires a life, wants to live, a person will want to be in a relationship with their creator. It's the same thing as wanting to live. Whether a person meditates in a particular way, which might be that a person how Hashem gives life to the world and how Hashem's energy is on two levels, the Sovev level, the Mamali level, the level which is doesn't depend where it is, and it's incredibly powerful and unlimited no matter where it is, which is itself is a miraculous thing that Hashem could put unlimited amount of energy in limited space, or whether it's the limited energy that gives life to every level, doesn't matter. To the extent a person's intellect can grasp and even beyond, because at a certain point, you're no longer even in a state of understanding. At a certain point, a person is just plain faith once you reach the limit of your understanding. The Alter Rebbe says, following this meditation, you will contemplate Hashem's great and wondrous love to us, a love that led Hashem to descend to Egypt, as again we spoke about in the first part of Tanya, the parable of the person who is in the garbage heap, who the king gets out of his carriage and goes to the dump and takes this person off the dump, who is in filthy clothing, and brings this person into his palace, and of course cleans him up and then brings him into his throne room. So Hashem went down to Egypt, which we're reading about in these parshas this time of year. Hashem went down to Egypt and he brought our neshamas out of the iron crucible where the Jewish people had descended at that time, which is the Sitra Achra, which is a completely opposite of all kinds of holiness. And Hashem brought us close to him and gave us the Torah at Mount Sinai, as we say in the Haggadah, with all the Dayenus. Hashem did this and did that and this and that and took us here and took us there. And all these things are amazing. So this is another way, the Alter Rebbe says, to think, to use your power of focus, concentration, meditation, and thinking to wake up a love for Hashem inside of your neshama, inside of yourself, inside of your mind. So Hashem raised us from the lowest levels of defilement to the highest levels of holiness. So this is unbelievable, as we spoke in the first part of Tanya. And then we also said in the first part of Tanya that there is this concept of kemayim apanim melpanim, as water reflects a face, so does the heart of man to man. Just like when you walk in, when you look into water, water becomes a mirror, and whatever you are showing, whatever face, if you're showing a smiley face to the water or to the mirror, smiles back at you. An angry face smiles back at you because it's a reflection. The same is true of a person's emotions that are shown to another person. If you show a certain set of emotions, the other person is a normal person, then the person will react that way. If you're very angry at somebody, the person will get angry. If you show the person that you love them, you care for them, the person's a decent human being, will respond the same way. They will love you and care for you too. So when we meditate, the Alter Rebbe says, the greatness and the goodness that Hashem did for us and continues to do for us every instant of the day, This, of course, will wake up inside of ourselves a love for Hashem for any person who is thinking about this thing. To love Hashem with such a strong love, as we have explained, the Alter Rebbe says this will be explained, but it's talking here about the first part of Tanya. So on. So the Alter Rebbe, and this is where we're up to, the Alter Rebbe quotes that there is a pasuk, there is a verse where Moshe tells the Jewish people that there is a mitzvah, Hashem is commanding you to have love for Hashem. And we asked, we concluded with this last week, we asked, why is this a mitzvah? How is this possible to command love? Love is an emotion. You can't command an emotion. Either the person loves you or doesn't love you. You can't say, you must love me. You can say, you must jump off the roof. You can say, you must do this thing for me, that thing for me. But you can't command an emotion. An emotion is in the heart. How are you going to command an emotion? Yet Hashem commands us to have Avas Hashem, to have love. It's one of the mitzvahs, one of the 613 mitzvahs. And therefore, the answer to that is exactly everything we've been saying. The commandment is to meditate, to think, to open your mind, and also at the same time, not to do things that will block you from having a spiritual sensitivity. By doing sins, by doing averis, by doing stuff that Hashem doesn't want us to do, that blocks our sensitivity. Like a person who says, I want to listen to music, and I want to appreciate the concert, but I'm going to take cotton and stuff my ears. How could you do that? I'm going to take earplugs and stuff my ears. So you can't do that. You're not going to hear the music. I want to appreciate the taste in this fine restaurant that I'm going to. But before I do that, I'm going to eat hot pepper. I'm going to burn my taste buds. So you're not going to taste anything. So you can't do something that is going to block your spiritual receptors, your spiritual sensitivity. And that's part of the issue that we all have, because none of us are perfect, unfortunately. And by our actions, we have, the pasuk is avonoseichem, your sins, mavdilim, are separated between you and Hashem. That's what happens. So if a person meditates, and if a person doesn't do anything, and proactively meditates and thinks about all of these concepts that we spoke about, whether it's the love of Kemayim Apanim L'Panim, the face reflecting the face, whatever Hashem does for us, we should be reciprocating. Or it's the love of Nafshi V'Sicha, Hashem is simply our energy and our life. Or it's the love that Hashem is Ma'aleh and Sovev. It doesn't matter which level of love it is. If a person meditates on any positive aspect of the relationship between the Creator and the created, between Hashem and the world, Hashem and us, you will naturally come, again, with the provision that you haven't done things that are blocking your spiritual sensitivity receptors, if you will naturally come to love Hashem. And that is what this second level of love is all about. And that's why Moshe is able to command us to have this love, namely to focus one's heart and mind in matters that arouse love. The first level of love, which is the love of the tzaddikim, where a person loves Hashem so much that nothing in the physical world interests you. It's like saying, I love my parents or my work, whatever, if you're a worker, so much, I don't even want to get a salary. Just showing up at work for me and making the company function is the most amazing gift. Don't give me any money. Don't give me even recognition. I don't care about any of these things. We're saving the world. You know, assuming a person says something like that. That, when we're talking about Hashem, however, you can understand. If a person comes to the realization that the physical world is temporary, and any reward that a person gets in the physical world is actually going to take away from the connection that a person, that individual, your neshama, has with Hashem. Because the more you're attached and the more you're caring about materialistic things, the less you can be attached to material, the spiritual things. And then if you take it up a notch, and the great, great tzaddikim don't even care about their spiritual reward, because when the idea, the concept, the process of giving someone a reward means that you recognize that you're recognizing them as an entity, as an individual who did something good for you. In other words, they're separate. They're not you. Nobody gives their right hand a reward for doing something good for their left hand. Nobody gives their feet a reward for taking you to a good place and not to a bad place. You're my feet, of course. Where else would you take me? You know, you don't reward your mouth for eating good food and keeping your body healthy. You're my mouth. So a tzaddik doesn't even want a reward, because that means, by Hashem, you giving me a reward, that means that I'm separate from you. That means that I am not somehow some level of disconnectedness. We don't understand this. We say, Hashem, give us rewards. Give us energy. Give us whatever it is. We're not on that level of the tzaddikim. But as we did learn in Tanya, not to go off track here, but as we did learn in Tanya, that those individuals who have tzaris in their life, and we did learn this, if you remember, this is a sign and a symbol that Hashem is actually loves that person much, much more than somebody else who has only good, only revealed good. And we explain this mystically. How does it work? The mechanics of the mystical, because there's two energy pools that Hashem uses to give energy to the world. And those two energy pools are inherent, are coming, flowing through the letters of Hashem's name, Yud-Ke and Vav-Ke, Yud-Ke, Vav-Ke, Hashem's four-letter name. And that a higher level of energy is the Yud-Ke energy. The lower level is the Vav-Ke energy. We said that the revealed good, when we can recognize Hashem's goodness, comes from the Vav-Ke. The concealed level, where we can't recognize why would Hashem do such a thing and we don't understand it, that is concealed, that is hidden. And by definition, of course, something that's hidden from us is more difficult to understand, of course, is deeper and higher. Something we could understand is lower. That's by definition. Even in that same way it is in or any learning process. If you understand it, it's on your level. If you don't understand it, assuming it's true knowledge, not just gibberish, then it's a deeper level. So when an individual is faced with energies from Hashem that we don't understand, why would Hashem do something like this? But we are absolutely, by faith, by emunah, convinced that it's coming from Hashem, obviously, everything. That simply means that Hashem loves that person even more, and that individual is receiving yet higher levels of energy. And again, we're not asking for it. We're asking, on our level, we're asking for only revealed good. The Gemara, however, does tell about certain great tzaddikim who would actually ask Hashem for tzaris. They would ask Hashem for pains and afflictions and bad health, because they actually believed this concept that we're just explaining right now. And again, we're davening here for everybody, and specifically for let me remind myself the name. We're specifically davening for and learning for Leia Basanya, that she should have a successful surgery and a refuah shlema, and all Chayli Yisrael, anyone who is ill, anyone who needs anything, including all our hostages and all our sick soldiers and wounded. And there's plenty of opportunity for Hashem to give blessing to the world, unfortunately. And we are, of course, davening for Mashiach to come, when we will not have any more sickness, any more war, any more tzaris. That's really what we want. So, getting back, however, to the text of the Tanya, there is the concept of the tzaddik, the perfect tzaddik who does not act because of the desire for reward, and actually, as just explained, giving reward in the mind of the tzaddik is a negative, because it delineates, it separates the tzaddik from Hashem on a certain level. It means that the tzaddik is not as connected, because if you have to reward somebody or something, it means it's not you. So that, however, we cannot reach. We can imagine we're on that level, but to really be on that level, that is the domain, that is the realm of a few people in a generation, the Alter Rebbe explains the first part of Tanya. And we'll talk about this yet again. Concerning this level of love, it is written, the higher level of the tzaddikim, I shall grant you your priestly service as a gift, as will be explained. Namely, this concept of...
Rabbi, I apologize. I can't find it in the book. Is it chapter 1, chapter 2?
This is the introduction.
Oh, in the introduction. Okay, thank you.
The introduction. We're still in the introduction. So these two levels of love, therefore, is what we're talking about. And now we're going to explain why it is that the child should be educated in his way, meaning according to something which is not the ultimate mental space, mental headspace to be in. And then we say that even when the child gets older and becomes an adult, not just in years, but also in maturity of thinking, that child is not going to forget or leave off the initial stages and initial status and initial methodologies of education that we gave that child. And we asked, what's the big deal? And not only what's the big deal, but what is the advantage of having a childish point of view, retaining a childish point of view, even when you're an adult? So now we're about to explain. We've explained that the childish point of view is the point of view that comes from introspection, that comes from even more than introspection or differently than introspection, comes from what's called iskafia, which means not doing what it is that you want to do, and instead doing what Hashem wants you to do. Not giving in to your baser instincts, not giving in to your yetzahara. That's called iskafia. Iskafia means bending yourself. Bending yourself, not doing what you want. That's the level of education that we give to a child. Now we're talking about the adult. Who is the adult? The adult is the tzaddik, or at least this child who has reached levels that are as close to a tzaddik as possible. So the Alter Rebbe says it's familiar, those who are familiar with the esoteric meaning of scripture, esoteric with Kabbalah, with mystical thought, know that there is a pasuk that says, Sheva yipol tzaddik bekam. The tzaddik falls seven times, but he gets up each time. And what this means is that the tzaddik, going from level to level in connectedness to Hashem, has an interval of time when going from the one level to the next level, you're not in a state of balance. You're not in a state of fully appreciating that level. There's various analogies to explain this. Just think about a person walking. When you walk, every time you pick up your foot in order to go to the next step, you're not balanced. If somebody were to push you, give you a shove when both feet are standing on the ground after you've taken the step, they're not going to knock you down, assuming that you're standing firmly.
Rabbi, an analogy with David HaMelech, how he, the angel of death could not have taken him because he was saying Tehillim all the time. And then he made him miss the step on the stairs. So he lost his concentration, and that's how he was taken.
Yeah.
He knew he was going to die.
Yeah.
So that's how, like, you lose, very good analogy, you lose the balance, you miss the step. That's what happens.
Yes, in the moment that you lose your balance, you lost your balance. Now, does it mean that before and after the step, you don't have a balance? Of course you have a balance. But in that moment, what is keeping you? What is keeping you? You're precarious. You're not firmly balanced. So the tzaddik has this concept too. The Rebbe gives the example of a very motivational speaker who has such an effect on the audience that they're all about to cry, you know, really motivational speaker, or all about to laugh, whatever emotion. Then the speaker finishes speaking, leaves the room. In that moment, what are you left with? You're left with what's called the reshimo. You're left with the impression. You don't have the words themselves. You do have the impression. And then the Rebbe says it might be that 2 minutes later, a speaker will take the podium, will take the stage, who's even a better speaker, who with the first speaker made you think about crying. The second speaker, the Rebbe says, will actually make people weep with tears coming out of their eyes. The first speaker might have made you laugh, might have made you smile at the jokes. The next speaker is going to be so amazingly funny that you're going to be laughing out loud. Now, what happens in the middle? In the middle, you're thinking about what the experience that you had. So this is what's happening in between the stages, in between the steps. What do you rely on? And that's what the purpose, that's the point of this introduction. In that point where a person is in a state of precariousness, a person is not in a state of standing firm, what do you go back to? How do you keep going? You're not yet on the next level. You've left the first level. Now you are a little bit unsure. So just think of, the process of becoming frum and you're accepting a new mitzvah on yourself. So everybody, the Gemara says that every single Jew is full of mitzvahs. We're all full of mitzvahs. Even a Jew who appears to be not religious is completely full of mitzvahs, like a pomegranate is full of seeds, the Gemara says. And in fact, we've seen such amazingly beautiful clips coming out. I'm sure you've seen the clips of soldiers who look that tattooed for the, I never, until these clips, I never realized. I mean, I didn't, you don't hang out in those places. I never realized how tattooed some of these people are. But now you see these tattoos, people you would think are gangsters. No, they're not gangster. They're warm Jews. It's just external. And when they open their mouth, they talk about faith in Hashem. They talk about the unity of the Jewish people. And not only that, but when they actually act, they act with complete self-sacrifice. They're literally, like literally putting their life on the line to save the Jewish nation and the Jewish country and Jews and so on. And you look at the person and you say, where is this person? So I'm just saying this because everybody is full of mitzvahs, even somebody who you think is not full of mitzvahs. But let's assume that a person who's already full of mitzvahs wants to do more mitzvahs. So you never kept kosher in your life, and now you want to start keeping kosher. You didn't keep Shabbos, now you want to start keeping Shabbos. It's very off-putting. It's very, I shouldn't say off-putting, it's very difficult to find your balance, because assuming that a person, for example, kept kosher and now wants to start keeping Shabbos, just to give you an example. So it took you so long until you got into the state of mind that keeping kosher is something that you can do and you're comfortable with and you know how to do it and you know where to find the food and you know how to not mess it up, mess up the kitchen. Now you're going to keep a new mitzvah. Now it comes a whole new level of self-doubt. Am I doing it right? Am I doing it wrong? Am I messing up? Am I going to be able to do it? So the stages in between are very important, but very, in a certain way, more difficult than even once you're completely fully doing the mitzvah in a certain way. Because when you're fully doing the mitzvah, you have confidence. You know what you're doing. When you're in the middle of reaching the level, it's difficult. You're off balance. You're starting to daven. You're starting to read Hebrew. You're starting to, well, any mitzvah, starting to give tzedakah. Giving tzedakah is very difficult, putting your hand in your pocket, giving money away. But when you get used to it, eventually a person, a frum person, gives 10% of their income. That's what happens. It's second, without second thought. You know that 10% of the money that you earn doesn't belong to you, belongs to whichever tzedakah fund you're giving it to, and Hashem is giving you the ability to be the teller in his bank. These are all very difficult things. It's not at all easy to get into that mindset. Once you get into the mindset, yes, you're on a different level. So this is what it says: Sheva yipol tzaddik become. A tzaddik is trying to reach another level and trying to reach a higher level in the tzaddik's affiliation and the tzaddik's connection to Hashem, and is going to a higher level. But in order to go to a higher level, the definition of going from one level to another, by simple definition, it means you've left the previous level. You've left the certainty, the comfort, the confidence of the previous level. And now you're in transit. And when you're in transit, things can happen, things can go wrong. So the question is, internally, the Alter Rebbe says, what do you rely on? What do you look to when you're in between levels? What keeps you motivated? What keeps you going? The answer, the ultimate answer is what keeps you going, Alter Rebbe is soon going to say, is faith in Hashem. Belief that Hashem can guide you through this problem too. That's the ultimate answer. But faith in Hashem has to be translated somehow in real life. And therefore, the way it really works is, the way it works in actuality is that you power through, plain and simple, even though you're unsure, even though your confidence level is completely, maybe even at zero. And you're not sure, why did I take this thing on? Why did I start to do this? And no, everybody's looking at me like I'm crazy, and I'm crazy, and it's not working, and my life is turning upside down. You power through. In the language of the Zohar, iskafya, you bend yourself. You bend yourself, you power through, and you somehow get... Now, what this powering through process, this is how you started. So a person says to them, oy vey, I remember when I first started the whole journey. And when I first started the whole journey, I had these issues. Now I have to have the same issue again. And the answer is, that's not a negative. That's a positive. The fact that you had those issues when you were starting out, let's talk about teshuva process. Let's talk about education process. I sit in class. Any education, it could be Torah education, it could be Lahavdil non-Torah education. You're sitting in class, I don't understand a word the teacher's saying. The subject matter is so difficult, my head is aching. But eventually, after a few times of reviewing, you begin to understand the terminology and you begin to understand the thought process and the way of explanation and so on. And eventually you say, wow, this is amazing, I can appreciate it now. The person says, I had this experience when I was in first grade. And I was trying to learn how to read. And in second grade and third grade, I was trying to learn 1 + 1 and addition and multiplication and then algebra and then this and then that and who knows what. Again, I have to go through this process of not feeling like an idiot, of feeling that I don't understand and my head aches because I can't understand what's happening and I'm trying to focus. And the answer is, what kept you in the first place? What kept you was some internal something that told you that you can make it. And that's called faith. That's called emunah, faith. And because you had that process, because you had that ability to take you from first grade to second grade, and then from elementary school to high school to college, and college to graduate school, or whatever, any analogy you want to use, that powering through process, which again is called iskafya, bending yourself, it could be called anything you want to call it. That powering through process is what we need through our life in order to advance. Now, the Rebbe therefore is explaining this is what the pasuk means when it says, educate the child according to his way, so that when the child gets older, the child will continue in this way. It doesn't mean we'll stay in the lower level, but what it means, the Alter Rebbe says, we'll retain the ability to, in spite of instability, in spite of temporary lack of confidence, in spite of doubts that might come into your back of your mind and try to throw you off course, will retain the ability to keep moving forward and to reach higher and higher levels and to go from step to step. And there, let's see it inside. Must therefore advance from one level to another and not remain forever level. Between one level and the next, before you can reach the higher one, you're in a state of decline from your previous level. You lack the superior level of love. Quite simply, you're in a state of lack of confidence. You're in a state of feeling out of sorts. But it's written, though he falls, he shall not be cast down from his spiritual service. This decline relative to his former state. It doesn't mean that you're leaving all your former levels. It means that you yourself, you're much higher than somebody else who hasn't worked through all that. So a person is going from, let's say, college to graduate school, and feels, oh, yeah, I'm a student all over again. I have to start. Yes, but you're still a college graduate. You're not a high school student. You're not an elementary school student for sure. You still have all the knowledge, except that you have to go through the process again. But the knowledge, the attainment, the achievement that you have, notwithstanding his fall, the fall of the tzaddik, you still surpass the other people who have not worked the levels through the levels that you have worked through. Inasmuch as it retains an impression of his former self. The mainstay of his service while he's in this fallen state is the love of Hashem, for which a person had been educated and trained from his youth before he attained the level of tzaddik. This is what it means. Even as you grow old, you will not depart from the path of the youth. Now the Alter Rebbe says, okay, fine. So now we know what the goal is. And the goal is to go from level to level, never be content with the accomplishment that you have accomplished. We're talking now spiritual accomplishment, your attachment to Torah, your understanding of Torah, your fulfillment of mitzvahs. Never be content with how much you've accomplished. You want more, you want greater, you want deeper, you want higher. And in order to move from one status to another, one state to another state, there has to unfortunately be this temporary period of time where you're sort of unsure, where you're sort of out of sorts. You're not standing on firm ground because you've decided to move up a notch. What keeps you going is the internal faith that you have in Hashem's love of you, in Hashem's neshama, and the neshama that you got from Hashem, and in the process itself of Hashem creating the world with his energy. You know that if you want to reach the higher level, you will be able to do it. Alter Rebbe says, first among the factors that arouse love and fear from Hashem, and the foundation of these factors, in fact, is a pure and faithful belief. Why does Alter Rebbe say foundation? The Rebbe explains, because we have just finished saying that fear and love of Hashem comes from meditation. So the question is, does it come from meditation, from contemplation, from thinking, or does it come from faith, which is just something internal to us? And the answer is yes, it comes from thinking, meditation, contemplation about these various levels that we spoke about before. But the foundational push to begin the process and that our thinking is based on is emunah of faith. So the foundation of all of us Jews doing whatever we do, whether any mitzvah that we do, including the mitzvah of Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, love and fear of Hashem, is the pure and faithful belief in the unity and the oneness of God. And oneness here means that all of creation is united with Hashem and utterly nullified to him. And that is what we're going to therefore be discussing in the next 12 chapters. What does it mean? This one paragraph here in the parentheses, what does that mean? That creation is united with Hashem and utterly nullified to him. How could it be that if Hashem creates the world should still not have an existence of its own? And the other question we're going to ask is, how can it be if Hashem is so great that there should be a world? But Hashem's greatness is absolutely unlimited and infinite. How could there be a finite world? How does the world exist? So that's what we are going to be discussing in the next week in Mirza Shah.